Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, hi there, everybody. We are live from the World Series. Game 3 here at a beautiful, sun-soaked Yankee Stadium. Evan and Tiki broadcasting live. We will be here all the way up until Game 3 of the Fall Classic, a game you'll hear right here on WFAN. We'll preview Game 3. A lot to talk about concerning what happened to open this series. Aaron Boone getting a lot of heat. Aaron Judge getting a lot of heat. We will give you our views on it. We will hear from you, and we will get you as ready for a World Series game as humanly possible. Yesterday, Tiki Barber.
Yes.
At about 4:07 p.m., I was physically shaking. I was physically ill.
Why?
Yeah, why? And I knew.
What could have possibly happened yesterday while I was awake?
I knew I needed to do something productive. So right after the clock hit zero and the New York Jets decided to kick us all collectively in the groin, I went outside and I played baseball with my sons.
Oh,
because I knew
that's
nice. I needed to do something to get my mind off what I just witnessed. And accidentally, I drill jet with the very first pitch. I didn't even mean to, but that's how screwed up I was. And as I stood there for 25 minutes playing baseball with my kids, there was only one word that kept popping into my head.
Which was?
How?
How?
How did this happen? How did the New York Jets, first of all, how did we become fans of this stinking franchise? Let's start with that. How? How did it happen to me?
Blame your fathers?
I blame all of them. I blame all of my dads, all of my moms, and I don't mean just me. I only have one dad and one mom.
By the way, you had a choice.
I didn't have a
choice. When you were, eight, had a choice.
I didn't have a choice.
Okay, when you were 10, you had a choice.
I never had a choice.
When you were 12, you had a choice.
Never had a choice.
When you got to high school, you had a choice.
Never.
When you went to college, you didn't go to college, but when you got of college age, you had a choice.
Yeah, I had a choice.
You could have changed.
I could have.
You could have amended the path that your father sit you down on and become a Giant fan or a Bills fan or a Miami Dolphin fan or a Pittsburgh Steelers fan or, dare I say, a Cowboys fan.
No, thank you.
You could have done anything but stick with the mediocrity, yet here you are.
Mediocrity.
Yes.
That would be an upgrade, by the way.
No, oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You think so?
Record-wise, but I'm just saying, this all comes back to the decision that was made 2 years ago to bring in Aaron Rodgers. And we all know it. The sky was the limit. This beautiful day as we look out over Yankee Stadium. It's so gorgeous. This would have felt like when Aaron Rodgers came to the New York Jets. But Jet fans and maybe the Jet organization failed to calculate that as a 39, soon to be 40-year-old man who is really good at football and has had the ability to do amazing things, at some point that wanes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is washed. I don't think he sucks.
He's closer to washed than prime.
But he still does some good. The throw he made to Conklin, that touchdown, that was a special throw.
Yeah,
by the way, it was a special catch, too, because he got drilled and held on to it. But that's fewer and farther between for Aaron Rodgers.
He is not, though, and here's the thing that really, I think, killed me yesterday more than any other day. Aaron Rodgers deserves a lot of the blame, but it's everything. It's everything about this franchise. Like, when you think back to the 3 hours we all wasted on a beautiful Sunday afternoon.
I didn't. I wasted about 45 minutes watching it on replay.
Good for you. We're all very jealous. We should all be broadcasters and watch other teams' quarterbacks quit on the field.
Stop.
And then get to go watch the Jets in 45 minutes. But as I sat there for 3 hours, I saw the season flash before my eyes.
Yeah.
Because that was the death of a season kind of loss, which we all know. And there was so many things. Like, I'm sitting there early in this game thinking, how does a functioning franchise use all three timeouts in the first quarter. How? How does a functioning franchise still employ a kicker that misses an extra point and a 44-yarder that's literally the difference in this game? I'm thinking to myself, how does Sauce Gardner, who I love Sauce Gardner, how does he look so confused when Keyshawn Boutte is wide open on a 3rd and 10? How? How can a team, this is one of my favorite hows, how could a team that knew if they score a touchdown, they're going for two, how could they be called for a delay of game?
I don't know.
How?
I don't know.
How do you have that happen?
Oh, I know why, actually.
How? Tell me why.
Because you change your head coach. Well, you fire your head coach. You bring in a defensive coordinator who's never been a head coach, even though he did do it at the Senior Bowl. Let's give him some
that
credit.
That doesn't count.
And I love Jeff Ulbrich, and I think he's put in a terrible situation. I was going to say a bad word there. I'm glad I caught myself. But he's in a bad situation because he doesn't know how to head coach yet. He's learning on the job in the most critical moment of the season for the Jets. And then you change your offensive coordinator, and this isn't a justification or a lauding of my good friend Nate Hackett, who I love. It's just the operation completely changed.
And it got worse.
It's not that it got worse.
Oh, it got worse.
It just got inexperienced.
Yeah, but it got
to the point where it's at this point where, do you trust Jeff Ulbrich to know the business decision to or the game decision to make in real time? You don't. You know, it's not his fault.
No,
he's never done it.
No,
and so I think that Woody thought that there was going to be this, aha, we're all going to galvanize around each other, and everything is just going to work out because I don't like Robert Saleh as my head coach anymore, and I want somebody else in here because we need an uplifting, motivating locker room. That's how we're going to win. But football isn't won that way. Football is won by doing the little tiny things correctly. You know that 3rd and 4 play decision you're making, and maybe you got a 4th down decision or a goal-to-goal situation, or in this case, a 2-point conversion situation. You got to be perfect in executing.
They're not perfect. They're bad at everything. Like, literally, they've gone backwards in every aspect. So you ask me, do I trust Jeff Ulbrich? I don't trust anybody. And here's the reality. They've gotten worse since they made the coaching decision. They've gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
And the hows, which I continue to ask throughout this miserable game to the Patriots, they got worse too. How as a defense, that I know was never the 85 Bears, but was better than this, in 2.5 minutes, do you allow a backup quarterback in Jacoby Brissett, which he now is, a crap offensive line, a team with very few even close to being Pro Bowl caliber receivers, barely NFL receivers. How do you let, as a defense, that team march 70 yards? How? How do you let the Patriots convert on a 3rd and 10, a 3rd and 9, and then take your pick, whether it was the 3rd and 5 or the 4th and 1? How? How do you allow all of that to happen? And how, and this is the ultimate, how do you lose on a Sunday afternoon to that football team? That can't happen.
Yeah.
You can make a lot of the mistakes you talked about, a lot of the mistakes I'm screaming about. What can happen at the end of the day when the clock hits 000 is you can't lose to that team. That was as inexcusable a loss as I've ever seen as a fan, and I've been walking this earth for 40-plus years.
I'd agree with you.
And I know the quick pivot from every Jet fan is, what do we do now? Let's fire this guy. Let's fire that guy. I apologize. I can't get there yet. I'm still pissed that on a Sunday afternoon, with the whole season still right in front of them on every level, from a clock management to stopping guys on 3rd down, to letting Drake May run whenever he wanted before he got hurt. Same with Brissett on a 3rd down.
Mm-hmm.
How this happened, how this was allowed to happen against that garbage team they were facing. There's no question, and we'll talk to Beningo later on when he joins us around 4 o'clock. He's seen it all. There is no loss in the history of the franchise that can match the ineptitude and the patheticness of what we saw yesterday afternoon.
No,
it takes a special kind of awfulness
to
tell the Yankees,
fired,
hold on a second, we need to talk Jet football on a Monday. That's how bad they were. That's how pathetic they were. And yes, is the season over? No bleep, Sherlock. Of course the season is over. But the fact that it happened at the hands of that team? A team that was ready to quit on their head coach. A team that has no offensive line. A team that's trading players away today, 8 days ahead of the NFL trade deadline. Like, I'm sorry. For a franchise that has hit all the markers of patheticness, not only in my lifetime, but before I ever walked God's green earth, they have hit the ultimate in patheticness. So the how. How did we all become Jet fans? Here's what I know. We're all screwed because we're all stuck. We're all watching this mess. We're all headed towards the iceberg. The iceberg is going to crush. This team's going nowhere. They're going to blow it up. Sean's going to laugh about it. And there's nothing we can do other than watch the death of our football season much earlier than should have happened. Halloween, bro? Election day? And they're letting this season end? Pathetic.
Aren't you glad we're
pathetic
Giant fans?
Oh, it's so nice being a Giant fan.
I'm happy for you.
It's amazing.
So nice. I'm happy for you.
By the way, Teak, the Giants right now have a better record.
I'm happy right. for you.
We're half a game in front of you guys.
Great.
Yes, let's go.
If that's what you guys want to celebrate, God bless you. I'm too angry to give a rat's ass about what Giant fans are laughing at. All I care about is this is us. This is us. And this is the most pathetic state we have ever seen. And you could sit here and tell me about the coach or firing the coach. Look, I was against firing the head coach. Mm-hmm. Not because he was competent, but because I knew this wasn't going to work. Everybody knew this wasn't going to work except for the owner. But he got desperate, and he tried, anything. And here we are. We are stuck in an iceberg. Like, we're physically in the iceberg.
Frozen?
The boat hit the iceberg,
yeah.
And we haven't even escaped it. We're stuck in it, and it's everybody's fault.
Wow.
It's Aaron Rodgers' fault. It's this overrated, crappy defense's fault. It's Jeff Ulbrich's fault. It's Woody Johnson's fault. And I'll raise my hand, it's my fault. Because I was the dummy who bought season tickets who thought, hey, this will be fun.
Yeah, this will be a good season to go watch
my
each and every weekend.
My season tickets are more worthless than Brooklyn Net tickets.
I'm a loser.
Who actually showed up and won their game yesterday. Yeah. Beyond pathetic, T.
It's football. It is hard to win in the NFL.
Nah, don't give me that.
The problem is that the Jets put themselves in a position to be mocked. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
You put yourself in a position to be mocked. Like 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, before last season, they put themselves in a position to be mocked. We're going to go get the greatest quarterback because we're a quarterback away. How many times have you heard me say this?
Yeah.
No team is anybody away. You're not a head coach away. You're not a place kicker away. You're not a quarterback away. You're not a running back away. Had to get that one in. You're not anything away from being a world champion. World champions happen because there's a culture, there is a belief system in each and every one of those guys, there is highly functioning planning, and most importantly, there's like this expectation of execution. That's ultimately what the Jets don't have. They don't execute well enough when it matters most, because games come down to a series of plays or sometimes a play. Hell, look at the Commanders last night against the Bears.
Amazing.
The Bears are celebrating like, hey, you guys, oh, this game's over, man. What's up, man? And he completes the Hail Mary. By the way, I think I figured out something with the Hail Mary.
What's that?
I'll get to it a little bit later. Oh. Something about the Hail Mary that Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders showed me how to do this. Because there is a process to it. I'll get to it later. But anyway, my point is executing in moments is what matter. The Jets don't do that.
Never.
They don't.
Never.
I mean,
why, Teak, I don't want to hear any Jet fans say, this play goes right, they win. The kicker shows up, they win.
You're supposed to make that play. And if you don't, you lose.
And you lose.
If you do, you win.
And that's what they've done every single week. Every single week, whether it was pre-firing Saleh or post-firing Saleh, they find a way to lose. But here's the thing that I really have a tough time wrapping my head around. If you want to tell me, see, Evan, I told you they wouldn't win, fine. There was always a really good chance the Jets were never going to win a championship, okay?
Right.
Here's the part I cannot wrap my head around. They're worse than they were last year. They're worse with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback than when they dealt with the worst quarterback play in the history of football.
Right. It's hard for me to like accept that that's the reason, because the reality is Aaron Rodgers is just a shell of who he used to be.
No question.
And again, this is not a knock. Aaron is still a really good quarterback, but he is not a great quarterback all the time. The pass he threw to Tyler Conklin, there's a couple of the ones he threw to Garrett Wilson. Those are elite passes. He used to do them 20 times a game. Now he gets it 4 or 5 times a game.
Mm.
And so he can't move. He can't extend plays. He's not doing the things that made Aaron Rodgers an MVP Aaron Rodgers. And so he's a static, good thrower of the ball, and it's all upper body. It's all upper body. When was the last time you seen him use his legs to throw a ball? A
couple of weeks ago. The last time it was against the Patriots.
Right.
It was
right.
A game at MetLife Stadium right. In which he felt like I don't want to say prime Aaron Rodgers, but he showed more signs of prime Aaron Rodgers.
He moved a lot. You're
he
right.
Did.
His hips were involved. Now it's just like it's all arm throws. And those things, I mean, it's hard to be accurate when you just throw with your arms. Go lock your bottom of your body in cement and try to throw accurate balls 40 yards downfield. It's not going to happen. And so he just doesn't have that extra oomph that he used to. And I think too much of the Jets' faith has been put in him being superstar Aaron Rodgers, and he's not superstar Aaron Rodgers.
He's not. He's not. And right now, the Jets have actually, they've done something that I thought was impossible. Like, as Jet fans deep in our soul, I know, Sean, you argue with cocky Jet fans. Mm. What I've tried to tell you is most of us are broken.
No,
most
they're broken
of us
now.
Have been broken for a very long time. And deep down, like, you hear it from Joe even when he's excited. You hear it from me even when I'm excited. At the end of the day, we know bad stuff's going to happen. But what stuns me is how bad the stuff occurred so early in the season. It's October 28th. The Yankees are about to play Game 3 of the World Series, and the New York Jets are dead. The New York Jets are a dead body lying on the side of the road. And I like to say death of a season. That's a term I've coined over the last couple of years. Here's what the problem was yesterday afternoon to my fellow Jet fans. It wasn't just the death of a season. It's the death of a franchise. This franchise is dead. They have no future. They have no hope. And sometimes I always try to offer a solution. Like, okay, things suck.
Right.
Here's what you should do. I'm going to offer solutions all day today concerning the Yankees. Aaron Judge's slump, I promise. I am going to offer a solution. The Yankees, questions about their rotation moving forward, I will offer solutions. I have hit a point with this football team. I don't have a solution. They're a dead corpse. They're a dead franchise. I would tell you they need a savior. I don't know who that person is. Bill Belichick continues to look at the Jets' dead body on the side of the road and spit on them. That's what he does. He walks past them and he hocks a loogie all over the Jets. That's what he does. So it really feels, and I apologize for being emotional, but I was shaking when this game ended. I'm glad I went out and played baseball with my sons because I knew I needed to do something healthy to get away from that mess, that disgusting mess known as football and known as the New York Jets. And look, did I get sucked back in? Of course. Did I watch the end of the Commander Bear game? Of course I did. Did I watch Cowboys Niners? Yes. But for a good hour, I was so freaking disgusted. I was shaking. I needed to leave. They are a mess of a franchise that's ruining all of our love for football.
Yeah, they messed up your emotions badly.
And love of football. You know me. I've hated the Jets, and I've had fun. I laughed at it. You know what the Jets did to me yesterday? They made it not fun to make fun of the Jets anymore. For the first time in my Jet-hating life, I felt empathy.
You know why?
I felt sorry.
You know why?
It's not even fun to poke them anymore.
You know why? I'll tell you exactly why. We all have an enemy. We all have somebody we don't like, right? And you want them to get their comeuppance. Well, let's say that person's laying dead on the side of the road. Are you going to walk up to their dead body and laugh? If you did, you're psycho.
Right. No.
Right.
That's the Jets right now. They are a dead body lying on the side of the road. So if you laugh at them, you're just a sick freak.
Yes. Right? No, you're right. And one more for the road. Joe Douglas, if you know and all these problems are on your team and every little tangible thing's going to happen, how often do we say firing a general manager midseason doesn't mean anything? Why is Greg Zuerlein still allowed to kick football?
He needs to be sent away.
There are lots of kickers that are just waiting in the wings.
How?
Waiting for their chance.
How was he allowed to suit up yesterday?
Didn't they bring in a kicker?
Yeah.
Yeah, so have a competition every day, every week. That's what you should do.
All I know is there are many humans who walk the face of the earth that can kick a football. I need one of them to be on my roster outside of Greg Zuerlein. And he's not the only problem, but he's one of the problems. So, Jet fans, your chance to vent, your chance to try to figure out where we go in life. 888-808-1019. There's a lot of baseball to get to. We will get you set for Game 3 of the World Series, but not before looking back at what happened in Game 1, what happened in Game 2, and we answer the question, is Aaron Boone getting too much heat? Plus, Aaron Judge, do we have faith? There's a lot of baseball to get to, a lot of football to get to. We'll preview the Giants a little bit later on. The great Joe Beningo will join us at 4 o'clock. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. We are live from a beautiful-looking Yankee Stadium where the bunting is out, where batting practice will commence in just a few hours, where the field is looking gorgeous, and we are set for the first World Series game at Yankee Stadium in 15 years. We are broadcasting, and we want to thank, from the Spanish announce booth, I want to thank everybody a part of that broadcast for being kind enough to allow Evan and Tiki and Sean Marash to be in
let
here.
Let me do this one.
You got it.
Gracias.
Well, I could have done that.
You like that?
I mean, I could have done the gracias part.
Gracias.
Gracias, mi amigos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much. Live from Yankee Stadium, the site of Game 3 of the 2024 World Series. We will be here all day. We'll get you set for Game 3. We'll check in on the lineups. We'll go through how the Yankees got here, being down 0-2, and prepare you for what is a very, very, very important night at Yankee Stadium. The weather is beautiful. The sun is out. They're kind of warming up here at Yankee Stadium. The giant American flag that will be appearing during the national anthem, they're rolling out now to kind of practice. I will even tell you, I got here so early that I saw a little preview of Fat Joe. I did. I watched Fat Joe come out.
Is it comparable to Ice Cube?
It's very similar. I think the idea is similar. The only difference is I'm not sure what I'm supposed to give away or not. Because I was in the ballpark, I took video, and then I realized I can't tweet that video.
Right.
Let the Yankee fans be surprised.
Of course.
At 7:45.
It's funny because we were watching it as a crew, our broadcast crew, the other night, on Game 2, Saturday night, mm-hmm. and Ice Cube came out, and he was supposed to be out there for like 3 minutes. He was out there for like 10.
Is that true?
I don't know, but we were just messing around. I went to Andrew Catalan, who's a big Yankee fan. I was like, Yankees are screwed.
Verdugo loved it. I thought it was a very badass performance, and you're right.
It was great.
You could see some Yankees like Alex Verdugo, who's like, this is amazing. This is, and I wonder if the same thing will happen tonight with Fat Joe. If, as he's performing, let's say, you know, I don't know, Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts are like, damn, this is tremendous. I'm liking this. Yeah, this is fun. So we'll see if it goes over the same way, but it's going to be a very festive night tonight here at Yankee Stadium. There's a cloud of mystery around who's throwing out the first pitch.
Don't they usually announce that?
They usually do, and I saw like a lineup of events. Like, okay, this is when Boone has his press conference. This is Yankee batting practice. This is Dodger batting practice. All the whole line of events. And then for the first pitch, it doesn't say who's throwing out the first pitch. So my guess, and it's just a guess here.
So we speculate.
I'll give you a speculative guess. Is they going to get Jeter and A-Rod to come over from the Fox crew. That'll be a big moment because it'll be the Yankees making peace with A-Rod as a guy that was a part of the 2009 championship team. It's not quite retiring his number. That's just a guess. I don't really know.
I love it.
You like that idea?
I love it.
We're going to have to effort to get A-Rod on then and ask him about this.
You think he'd be honest with us, though? If it's a big secret, he's got to play the game.
If A-Rod tells us, he's out.
Yeah, right.
Imagine that. A-Rod tells us, blows up the whole thing. Sorry, Alex, you're not throwing out the first pitch. But we'll keep you posted as the day goes on. Let me also say this about the Jets yesterday. And I swear to God when I say this, all right? And this will make you feel good. Because I have been burned as a Jet fan, we all have, by the New England Patriots, where I've talked to you about the curse and the streak and how much I can't stand them. Yesterday's loss could have come against the Carolina Panthers. It did not matter. What made yesterday bad was it was a horrible football team that you're supposed to beat. The idea it was the Patriots, honestly, it didn't affect me that much. I thought maybe it would because they're a blood rival, but that was not it, bro.
I think what also could have happened, and now I'm being an IFO and looking at this from the Patriots' perspective, there's a good chance that what Jared Mayo said about them after they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars in London made them like reevaluate who they are.
Maybe.
Right? Just sometimes that works.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the guys are like, screw you, coach. We want you to get fired and get out of here, and we'll get somebody else in here. But other times it could be like, you know what? You're right. We got to play harder. We got to play better. So I think there's a good chance that the Patriots just started playing or executing better, not making the same amount of mistakes they had been before.
And the Jets still should have won by 2 scores.
No, you're
so
right.
So despite all
I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying the Patriots didn't make the mistakes that the Jets did.
No.
They didn't miss extra points. They didn't miss field goals. They didn't do the things that lose you games.
They did have a lot of drops in this game.
They did.
And they did the Jets favors with that, and they still couldn't take advantage of it. It's why this is, to me, one of the most pathetic losses this franchise has ever had. Let's go to Lee. He's calling from Long Island. What's up, Lee?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Lee, and I'm a Jets fan.
Yeah. What's up, Lee?
Jets Fans Anonymous.
I feel you, Lee. There's a couple
things I want to say quick. First things first, and this goes for every caller, every host on the radio station. Something I never want to hear again is how good on paper the Jets are. Yeah. I never want to hear those words uttered because I watch them on the field and they're garbage. So I don't care how highly drafted they were. I don't care what their contracts are. I don't want to hear about Aaron Rodgers going to the Hall of Fame because as a Jet, he's not going to the Hall of Fame. He's going to the Hall of Fame for what he did 5 and 10 years ago in Green Bay, not for what he's doing right now. So I never want to hear either of those things again. And the second thing is, Joe Douglas started his career, the one thing he did right was the Jamal Adams trade. But after that, he basically started his career selling off the entire team and tanking because he couldn't wait to get Zach Wilson. And he really should end his Jets tenure also selling off all the pieces for draft picks so that when we fire him in week 15, the new GM at least has something to work with.
So, Lee, I thought about the same thing because as much as I'm crying and whining and bitching, and I understand that's what I've done so far to start this program, I want to be a solutions guy. I really do. I want to offer solutions.
Which is?
Well, that's the problem.
There aren't any.
I can't come up with one. But one of the ideas Lee just kind of touched on was, what do you do in 8 days?
Yeah.
And I don't mean the election. What do you do with the NFL trade deadline in 8 days? If we all honestly believe this team is cooked, this team is a dead carcass, this team stinks, then how do you not put a for sale sign right in front of Florham Park and say, we're open for business? And a part of me says they should do that, but here's the ultimate problem I run into, okay? If you do that, what are you honestly getting for the veterans that you want no part of? Like, you'll get something for the good young players. You'll get something for Sauce Gardner, even though he's having a garbage season. You'll get something for Garrett Wilson. But are you getting anything for Tyron Smith? Are you getting anything for Alan Lazard? Are you getting anything for Davante Adams? And yes, I'll ask the question. Are you getting anything for the mercenary piece of crap's quarterback? The answer is no.
He's hit that level already. Here's the thing. The Bengals are 3-5 right now. They have been so bad and maybe equally under the expectation that the Jets have been on. And I think it might be even worse, to be honest with you, because they weren't dealing with a 40-year-old quarterback who was coming off an ACL, an Achilles injury. They are a team that competes every single year when Joe Burrow's healthy, and they have Joe Burrow, they have all the assets that they need offensively, and they're 3-5 right now. Mm-hmm. But the mentality in Cincinnati is, we have to get to 10 games, so we'll win 7 of 9, and we'll get to the playoffs.
That, Jets aren't the Bengals'
team. That's their mindset.
Right.
So the Jets' mindset should be, all right, we can only lose one more game.
So you're saying don't sell anybody, right?
Well,
you're saying, hey, I can't sell anybody anyway. Let's just try to win.
But what else can they do? Because you're right. They're not selling all these pieces and getting whatever, something beneficial back.
Right.
I mean, they could sell them for, like, scraps for six-round picks.
And is that worth it?
It's not worth it.
Right.
Because then you're loaded with back-end draft picks that you're going to draft, and then you're going to probably cut them anyway. So it doesn't make any sense. So the only thing they can do is say, we can lose one more game. We got to win 8 of our next 9 games.
And here's the reality, Teague. By the time we get to Halloween, Thursday night against the Houston Texans, who are dealing with some major injuries, I will probably, as a fan, because I got no other choice, talk myself into that.
Yeah.
I will say, and yeah, I did say plural selves, because I'm like, I got a lot of selves.
Your multi-personality
right
now?
I got the self that realizes the Jets suck and this is a waste of time. I got the self that's like, oh, gee golly, maybe it'll be the Mets all over again. OMG! I got a lot of selves. But I agree, by the time I get to Thursday, we're going to have no other option. But as we sit here today, and Lee says, trade everyone off, I try to be rational about it. You're not getting anything.
Yeah, the problem is we're in, like, July right now.
Excuse me?
If you're comparing this to the Mets.
To baseball?
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's...
we're close to July.
It's dark early, man.
It is.
It gets dark very, very early. Let's go to Andrew calling from Bay Ridge. How are you, Andrew?
Hey, what's up, Ev? I'm going to joke around with you, but I do really feel bad. Was it after the first, the second, or the third timeout in the first quarter where you start to pass?
That was inexcusable, but go ahead. Yes.
I have a question, Kiki. I love you. I'm a lifelong Giants fan. It's like an honor to talk to you anytime I get the chance. So
I appreciate
you're amazing. But I have a question for you as someone who's actually played the game. I've never played any sort of organized football, but I'm curious, like, when I watch other games and other, like, proficient quarterbacks, I see that, like, they're snapping, they're getting the ball in their hands with, like, 8-9 seconds sometimes left on the play clock, and it feels like Aaron Rodgers is always down to, like, zero.
That's because
Is he overthinking it? Like,
no, he's not overthinking it, Andrew. This is what Aaron Rodgers has done his whole career. It's actually what makes him great. Peyton Manning used to do the exact same thing. He'd get up there and he'd dissect what you were trying to do to him defensively. He would correct his line protection or routes or whatever it may be, and then snap the ball and then beat you, despite, you know, you thinking you had the advantage. Aaron Rodgers does the same thing. And he gets a bunch of plays, not bunch, but he gets a couple of plays in the play call, and then he has this whole arsenal of other things that he can do at the line of scrimmage. So he gets up there, and it's not just call the play that my offensive coordinator, Todd Downing, put into my ear. It's evaluate what they're going to do to me and get me in the right play. Get my offensive line in the right protection. Get my backs and wide receivers running the right routes. It's just a long process. Right, there's a couple of ways to do that, but to execute offense, one is how Aaron Rodgers does it. Others are go up there, call two plays. If you don't like the first look, kill it. You hear them say can all the time. If you listen to the audio that they pump into, they're always quarterbacks are going can. That means they're canning the play, I mean throwing it into the trash can, and you got to execute the second play that was called. That's the easy way to do it. Mm. Aaron Rodgers does it the hard way because he's smarter than everybody.
Yeah, he's so smart.
And
he's a freaking genius.
And he's trying to get the Jets in the correct play for what a defense is trying to do to them. The challenge is they got a young team.
Yeah.
And executing like that takes a lot of practice, lot of repetition. And so maybe it works with Devontae Adams. It doesn't work with everybody.
You're 8 weeks into the season. You cannot. I get what you're saying, and I respect how smart he is. Quite frankly, the smartest thing Aaron Rodgers did was con Woody Johnson into that contract. Because does he really give a crap? Like, I wonder Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Aaron.
I wonder that sometimes. I care. My Monday's been affected. Does Aaron Rodgers really give a rat's ass? Like, I don't know sometimes. Maybe that's his personality. Maybe he's just so calm and so relaxed. It's like, I will be fine. But did he sleep last night? Because Jet fans didn't sleep last night. And maybe that's our problem. Maybe we're just sick. Maybe it's in Evan and all Jet fans' issues that we give a crap too much about this football team. But I wonder about this quarterback. I wonder if he gives a crap.
Mm.
I do. And I think about to all the mercenaries that walked in on my life. And I'm telling you right now, he's the worst. He is the worst of all the free. Because all the other mercenaries had a moment. They had a moment where they did something. This guy's done nothing.
Four more years.
Two and six. He's done nothing.
But you got more years.
That's fine. I don't want more years. I'll tell you right now, we were talking about the trade deadline. If some schmucky NFL team came up to me right now and said, we're going to give you a third round pick, I would trade him in 5 seconds.
You're not getting
and move
no,
that.
No chance.
I know I'm not.
Right. If a quarterback got injured this weekend from a contender, you could.
The money. No. It's the money.
No. It's not happening.
Because you're taking the money with him. And that's just a lie.
It's not happening. I'm stuck with this guy. And I'm telling you right now, all the other mercenaries, they did something. Ask yourself this, Jet fans, because I know we all don't root for the same teams, so you may not understand my pain and my, oh my God, I'm living this again with the other teams I happen to root for, whether it's Brooklyn, whether it's the Met crap. So I know we're all different. We're all unique. There's a lot of Jet Yankee fans out there. You're very confused right now. Don't worry. We'll get to the Yankees in a few minutes. But this guy has done nothing.
Same old Jets.
He's done nothing for this franchise. Anyhow, let's go to, I'm out of breath. I'm disgusted. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? Maybe by tomorrow I'll feel better.
At least your bronchitis is getting better.
It is. I'm feeling a lot stronger. Let's go to Al in Queens. What's up, Al?
Just in time.
Yeah. What's up, Al?
As a Yankees Giants fan, I don't know if I'm more excited for the Yankees tonight at 8:08 or Beningo at 4:30.
So you're a bad guy. Yeah, you're a bad guy. You want to hear Joe lose his mind? Is that what you're looking forward to? You want to hear Joe cry on the radio? You're a bad guy, Al. You're a bad guy.
I remember him. I don't know. I remember him dancing after we lost to them last year, the cruise dance.
But
I'm sure that was okay. That was okay with you, right, Evan?
That's a great point.
Al, touche. You got me.
Okay. Fine. But Evan, yeah. please don't ever talk to Joe after a Jet loss like that. We need the mystery of 4:30. So, you know.
I have not talked to him, so I cannot reveal what Joe is going to say when he joins us at 4 o'clock. And look.
What if he's resigned?
Resigned to hell?
Just resigned to the plight that you find yourself in.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible. Like, I don't know.
It's hard not to be. You're 2-6 right now. Well, it's hard not to just accept. This just didn't work.
Well, no, you could accept it and also be angry about it. Like, I'm resigned to myself to this is not going to work, but I'm still pissed about it.
Yeah.
Like, those two things don't need to be mutually exclusive. But I think what really kills me is we had a caller earlier make that joke about, hey, which timeout was the timeout that really annoyed you the most? Here's the reality. And this is maybe how naive I was.
Uh-huh.
I said to you on Friday, and I regret saying this, I said a lot of brilliant things on Friday, but there's a few things I regret. And one of the things I regret is what I said about the Jet game. I said, look, usually, Teague, just win 9-6. I don't care how you win.
Right.
Just get a win. And I made the point that it needed to be an impressive win. And in the middle of this game, I started hating myself because I said, I don't care how unimpressive this is. Win the game. Get to 3-5, get to Houston on Thursday night at MetLife Stadium, and we'll go from there. And despite how ugly everything is, just win the game. Just win the game. And when we got to that final drive, after the Jets scored the touchdown to go up by 5, they fail on the 2-point conversion. What a disaster that was. I mean, that was the biggest mess of a 2-point conversion you'll see between the delay of game and then the play call and the execution. Honestly, I don't even know what the play call was. Tiki can go look at the tape and explain it. Either way, it sucked, okay? I'm thinking to myself, and I got my dad there, and I got my son there. I got three generations of Roberts. And I'm thinking, you know what? Despite all of this, all the defense has to do is not let Jacoby Brissett go 70 yards to get in the end zone. That's it! Despite Greg Zuerlein, despite the timeouts, despite all the negatives, all the garbage that we sat through, I'd still be angry on Monday, like I'd rip the team, but I'd say, you know what, they won the game, you live another day, and hopefully they turn it around on Thursday. For this defense to let Jacoby Brissett go 70 yards and convert on not one, not two, but three massive third downs on the final drive,
yeah,
that was beyond. And that's, I still thought they would win. I'm sitting there thinking, they're still going to find a way to win. They'll be 3-5. Okay. And for them to allow that to happen, that's why I stand by this. This is the most pathetic loss this franchise has ever had. And maybe I'm being emotional on a Monday. I don't know. Thank God we're going to talk Yankees in 5 minutes, because I'm going to give you some rational, good baseball talk. And I can't freaking wait. We're at Yankee Stadium, and the Jets have been disrespectful to the Giants. They were so – the Giants to the Yankees. They were so pathetic yesterday that they caused us to waste airtime on how horrible they are. Meanwhile, we should be talking about the World Series.
Yankees,
I apologize to George Steinbrenner in heaven.
They might be thanking the Jets, by the way.
What?
The way the first two games went, they might be thanking the Jets.
I understand. Right. I get you.
Stop talking about. Don't talk about us on Monday, please. That's what they're. That's
it's
what
an
they're
hour
saying.
Further away from Boone's decision on Friday,
which we'll get to. We'll get to. Let's go to Matt in Hillsborough, New Jersey. What's up, Matt?
Hey guys. So Evan, it's worse than you think. The team isn't dead. This is like a zombie team, because we make those kicks for 5-3. We're talking about how this team just needs to be polished, just to get used to playing together. They're going to be in every game this year,
correct?
But it's going to be a different each time. That's going to break our heart. And Tommy, I try to be positive. I don't care anymore. I'm 54. I've got season tickets. I can't believe I got to go in December to sit and watch them choke away a game to the Seahawks, which they will have somehow be mathematically in it, because the Jets, it's like an abusive relationship. They apologize. I'll never do this to you again. It'll be time.
But you know what's crazy? Like, so you're laying out a scenario where they win a couple of games. And I understand, like, the Tankers of the world, the Shawns of the world will tell me that's the worst possible scenario. I cannot ever get my brain to tanking. In fact, can I give you real quick proof?
I know, but won't you need to?
No. Yesterday, I was giddy. The Nets beat the Bucks. That's all you need to know about my brain and tanking.
Different.
No, it's not. There's a lottery in the NBA.
Is that more about the Bucks?
No, it's about the fact that as a fan, I want to win. Like, by the time we get to Thursday, I want them to win. I want them to go on a run. I want them to suck us in. Like, our last caller describes it as an abusive relationship. And, yeah, they'll probably do something really abusive to us once they get back into it. But I want my team to win. I'm not going to sit here rooting for them to lose. I want to be wrong. I want to sit back and think about what we're talking about today and laugh at all of us how the Jets turn their season around, as unrealistic as that sounds.
Is it nuts that we're probably going to live in a world in January where Geno Smith, Sam Darnold are both starting playoff games and Zach Wilson is backing up in one?
Is that meant to, like, piss me off?
I'm just asking.
It's just the reality.
The reality of how crazy this Jets season is.
Yeah, look, all of that kind of stuff, those are, like, you know, exclamation points, if you will. That's not what bothers me. Like, it really doesn't. What bothers me is that Aaron Rodgers, as the quarterback of this team, has been one of the biggest New York City sports failures we've ever seen.
No, he's the biggest.
That's what bothers me.
And that's I mean, who would have thought that was happening?
At least Favre started 8-3.
Yeah.
They're not even in the same sentence.
Right?
Don't bring his name up.
Who, Brett Favre?
I don't want to think about him.
Well, I mean, if you're ranking New York sports failures, you have to.
But I think Brett is so far removed from the failure word because of the success that he had.
Yeah.
The failure happened because he got hurt. And that's just, you can't help that, especially because he was older at that point. But I'm trying to think if you're right.
About what? I said a lot of things today, team.
Aaron Rodgers being, because not a homegrown, but you can't include those guys, mercenary.
Oh, he's the worst of the mercenaries. He's the worst. Trust me, I want to make this very clear. I've lived it all now. Okay, I live the Brooklyn Nets. I didn't just get to talk about it because it was the cool thing to talk about.
There had to be a Nick. There had to be a Nick that came in and did absolutely nothing.
Not with this hype,
and not to this level. Not the hype.
Not with this hype.
I mean, people were crying in the streets.
The Giants never bring in free agent like the superstar free agent. They don't do that. They don't. If they do, they work out like Plexico Burris.
I'll give you one, and I would say
Kerry Collins, but he went to the Super Bowl.
I'll give you one based on age and legendary status. And it's different. It's a different sport. But Randy Johnson with the New York Yankees.
Yeah, that was bad.
But it wasn't, because here's the thing about Randy Johnson. He still went out there and made every freaking start.
Yeah.
He didn't miss a season right away. And while he wasn't the same dominant guy, they were in the playoffs. He was pitching in the playoffs. This team is going to be this team already is buried. It's not even Halloween. And I know it's different. It's going to be impossible to find an absolute comparison to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I don't think there is one.
No, there isn't. But right now, this is as bad as it gets. We'll hear from Jet fans as the show continues. Don't worry, 888-808-1019. But Yankee fans, Aaron Boone is poised to make a major lineup change. We'll tell you what it is, and we'll give you our thoughts. Plus, I propose a major lineup change for the New York Yankees going into Game 3. Ooh. Plus, is Aaron Boone getting too much blame?
And we have the first pitch we could tease.
What?
I don't know
what you just said.
The
just
ceremonial first pitch has been announced.
Oh, we now know?
Yes.
Was I right, Jeter to A-Rod?
We don't know who Jeter's throwing to.
Oh, so it's Jeter to somebody.
Paul O'Neill will do the same tomorrow.
All right, there you go. More on that later on as well.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.